Today, as I told you, is Good Shepherd Sunday. And what I'd like to do during this homily is to, first goal is to have you deepen your appreciation of how radical that image is. Because, you know, there's that old saying that familiarity breeds contempt. And it's correct. By the way, the word contempt, you all know that I love etymology. Contempt actually means like when you are charged with contempt of court. Contempt is that you are treating something at a lower level than it deserves to be treated. And so when you have contempt of court, you are not respecting the court to the degree that the court is to be respected. Familiarity breeds contempt. Means that basically when we get so used to something, we no longer see the, I'm going to use a word that's overused, the awesomeness of what is about. Now please remember, when I use the word awesome, I don't mean it the way our young people many times use it. You know, like you go to a movie and you go, "Ooh, that was awesome." No. The word awesome comes, of course, from the word awe. And awe is a religious category. It means something of such depth that when you're standing in front of it, you understand your place and you understand how it takes your breath away. And what I would like to end up doing is to help you to renew your sense of awesome when it comes to the image that we have of the Good Shepherd. And then goal number two is, as a result of a renewed image, to urge you how to behave in the face of the God that it describes. So let me get into it. So why is that image of God awesome? It's an image of a shepherd that has lost one of its sheep. One of the sheep has, because sheep are not tremendously known for their intelligence, but one of the sheep has run off. I hate this thing. One of the sheep has run off. And so what the shepherd does, this good shepherd, and notice he does it because the sheep belong to him, because he knows the sheep. It's an interesting perspective. The Pope said that a shepherd, meaning a priest, should always smell like his sheep. Now, that's a metaphor, of course. But the metaphor, I've never hung around sheep. But let me tell you, I've met some people that have hung around sheep. And they tell me that when you're a shepherd and you come in from the field having been from the sheep, nobody wants to be around you. Because the sheep smell. And the sheep learn how you smell. And they learn how you sound. So much so that in the ancient world, the sheep were not branded. Several shepherds might put their flocks together, and all they would have to do is go to different sides of a field and call for their sheep, and the individual sheep would recognize both the call and the smell of their own shepherd, and they would divide themselves and go to the shepherd they would recognize. That's why Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice. They know me and I know them." So, notice what's happening. Jesus is comparing, because he, remember what we believe at the center of our faith, that is not just a man. That is God himself become human. And so when he acts as a human being, we are seeing both who God is, and we are seeing what a perfect human being ought to be. It's kind of like that old saying that goes, if you want something done right, you do it yourself. If God wanted to show us what is it that constitutes being a good human being, it's basically, Jesus is basically God saying, let me come down there and do it so that you kind of know what I intended when I created you. And so this is an image of God that actually has a relationship and loves his sheep. And that image is saying that God individually knows you. That you're not just one of the flock. That's the whole image of him carrying a single sheep and going out and getting a single sheep. The sheep that has been lost, he goes out to find it. So the image is an image of God that in the ancient world and in the world of world religions is never, ever heard. That image of a God who actually cares about individuals, and especially individuals in trouble, that's never been heard. Never. That's why, you know, I always get a bit frustrated when I'm in the middle of a discussion with people. And people say, well, we all believe in God, right?
Right.
Well, doesn't that mean that, I mean, all religions are the same? No, they're not. Trust me, not all images of God are the same. When I was in graduate school, I did most of my work and most of my research, and even afterwards, in the 38 years that I've been a priest, my chief field of study is comparing Christianity to non-Christian religions. And let me give you just a thumbnail of what's out there, because I get this all the time. I get, oh yeah, it's God, it's God, it's the contempt. We all believe in the same thing. No, we don't. Let me give you an example. Let's take Hinduism. You know, a lot of people are into, I get a, this one always makes me laugh, because I hear people go, huh, well, I believe in reincarnation. Okay? No, it's interesting. Nobody has ever was like a bug in their previous life. Somehow everybody was a king or a queen or something like that. Nobody was a schmucky slave or something like that that's been reincarnated. But anyway, that's a side issue. Hindus believe in God. But you see, the Hindu God doesn't really care about you. The Hindu God is a kind of a vague universal one. And the problem with Hinduism is that you're sort of cut off from God. It's very interesting. This is the best way to explain it. I want you to imagine that you have an eyedropper in your hand and that you're in a boat, and then you reach down from the boat and you take some water into the eyedropper, and your eyedropper is filled with water. Now you pinch the top of the eyedropper, and just at the end, you begin to see the formation of a drop of water. It's still connected to the eyedropper. It hasn't fallen. It's still connected, but you can see the drop. Now, if I were to ask you, does that drop exist? And you would look at me like I was crazy. And you'd say, of course it exists. I can see it there. And I said, good. Now keep pressing and squeezing the little end of the eyedropper, and eventually the drop will fall back into the sea. And then I will ask you the same question. Does the drop exist? Oh, now it's a little bit harder, isn't it? Because I guess the molecules exist, although you'd be hard-pressed to find them in the sea. What has happened? What happened was that the drop was just separated from the ocean. What you're supposed to do, that water, once it joins the ocean, it loses its identity as a drop. That's you. In Hinduism, the ocean doesn't love you. It's just there. It's called Brahma. And the whole point is that you've been separated, and the fact that you think you're an individual is only because not only has the drop been separated from the ocean, you've been contaminated with dust. So it's just like dust is, it's like kind of matter is adhering to you. Take for example, if you take your hand and put it in water and then stick it on some flour and you pull it back up and your palm is covered with flour. In Hinduism, the fact is that you are only you because you have been contaminated with matter. And the whole point of reincarnation is that you keep on being born and born and born again until you can get rid of your attachment to matter. And when once you're rid of your attachment to matter, then you get to go back into the ocean. But ultimately, the you that you think you are is a total illusion. There is no good shepherd there. The universe doesn't love you. You're just split from the universe. Now, some people go, oh, that's cool. Don't be an idiot. That means you don't exist. The fact that you are you is not real. Buddhism is the same thing, except Buddhism doesn't believe that there is even a God. Buddhism doesn't believe in a personal God. It's a vague kind of principle. Hinduism at least believes that that is a personal God, and it keeps coming back in different forms. What about Islam? Islam is on the news today a lot. What kind of God is in Islam? Well, let me tell you. In Islam, there is Allah. I've done a lot of studying lately on Islam. Allah. Allah does not love you. Allah created you one step above a horse. And you know what the purpose of your life is? Obey Him without question, without reason. And if you leave Islam, you don't get just like in Hinduism, you keep on getting contaminated with matter. If you leave Islam, they will kill you. That little sheep that was being held by the good shepherd, he would have been the good hunter. Because in Islam, he would have been looking for that sheep that went away from the ummah, the community, and he would have killed that sheep by either shooting it or beheading it or crucifying it or burning it alive. No such thing. No God that loves you. And even in the moderate Islam, there is not a God that loves you. The word Islam means submit. No questions allowed of the Quran. The Quran is God's word. You shall not question it. Ever. What about some of the other religions, some of the ancient religions? In our own hemisphere, the Aztecs. What kind of God did they have? Their God didn't love us. As a matter of fact, they constantly had to offer it human hearts in order for the gods to keep going, to the sun to keep going. And you can go all the different religions that have ever existed. Study them. Go for it. You don't like being Catholic? Go. Go find something. I wish you well. But ask the question, who is this God that you're worshiping? Because it has consequences. None of them has a good shepherd. None of them have a God that loves you. I get a big kick out of asking sometimes. I tell people, imagine you had a time machine. And that you could go back and you could be like in the Romans, in the age of the Romans and all the different gods they had adopted from the Greeks, but they became Roman gods and they worshiped all kinds of gods. None of the gods loved us. And as a matter of fact, what you had to do was you had to sacrifice animals and people in order to keep the gods happy. That's what the purpose of killing and sacrificing people was. Keep the gods happy. And imagine if you would go in front of a Roman emperor and you would say, I feel like a lost sheep. You know what he would say? Ooh, take hold of him and take him to the circus. We enjoy watching the lost sheep get killed and fight each other. It's called the Colosseum. I was just there. I saw it. That's where thousands of people would kill each other and the gods would bless it and people would clap. Now, and I could keep on going, but now look at that man. There you have the revelation of the true God. The God who came, and even when we pushed him to the end, you see what's right behind me? That's what it looked like, except that that's a very pretty crucifix. If you want to see what it was like, watch the Passion of the Christ. I thought about putting something up like that, but people said it was too gross to put in church. You want to see what happens when we do that to God? Any other God would have looked at humanity and said, to hell with all of you. I don't need this. I don't need this kind of garbage. Wipe them all out. Except what are the words that come out of that man when we push him to the end? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. That's God. And so the next time you go around saying, oh, it's all the same God, stuff a sock in your mouth and read something before you start spouting off about what you know nothing about. Because that image of God is radical. It has never existed in all of human history, ever. And so the last part of this, so what? Because I always enjoy Rick Warren, the guy who wrote The Purpose-Driven Life. He said every sermon should have three parts. What? So what? And now what? So I told you the what and the so what. But now what? The now what is this. The word holiness, H-O-L-I-N-E-S-S, holiness, or the word holy. The word holy is related to the word whole, W-H-O-L-E. What that means is that whenever you feel something is missing in your life, whenever you feel like something, there's not enough, something just ain't right, what's happening is that you are in some way separated from God. Not any God, that God. And the reason you're feeling it is because you're not whole. In some way, you're broken. And the only way to come back to being whole or holy, whichever one you prefer, is to let Him find you. But you know what the good news is? He's looking for you. He's looking for you. And sooner or later, no matter how much of a stupid sheep we are, He will find us. No matter how much we run away, He will find us. Because the only chance of happiness you have is being caught by the Good Shepherd. That's the only chance. The rest of it, you're always going to feel empty. Right now, we're about to baptize two or three kids. Baptism is God's way of speaking. Whenever we do a sacrament, sacraments are always God's way of saying something. In a sacrament, it's not we who do anything. We accept. But in the sacrament, it's God's way of speaking. And what's about to happen in the Catholic Church, that big tank right there, the baptismal font, is called the womb of the church. It's interesting because the real womb, when you were in it, was filled with water. And the way we knew you were coming was when the water broke and you came out of the water. That's exactly the sign that God is using. He is saying, in the same way that your mama gave you birth and you came out of the water, when you come out of that water and that water hits you, I'm telling you, you are my son. You are my daughter. And if you ever run away from me, I'm going out to find you. And I will not stop until I find you. I will hound you until I find you. And even if you run away from me, I will keep running after you because I love you. And in the history of humanity, it's only Christ who has given us that image of God. And so, remember your baptism as we are about to baptize these children. It was God's moment when he said, I don't care how far you go, you're not getting away from me. I'm coming to get you. That's the point. And so, mothers and fathers, if you're ready to have your children accepted and adopted by God, so that from then on, your children are that sheep, because he will not stop trying to find them. I ask you now, as you are invited, to come forward.